still the economy, stupid.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The Democratic National Convention wrapped up last night. Senator Barack Obama accepted his party's nomination and delivered an acceptance speech. It was all about the economy. Obama criticized the economic policies of rival John McCain, who he said just doesn't get it.
How else could he propose hundreds of billions in tax breaks for big corporations and oil companies, but not one penny of tax relief to more than 100 million Americans?
Obama called for a middle-class tax cut and an end to capital gains taxes for small businesses. He also promised government help for the U.S. auto industry. Domestic car makers aren't the only ones struggling. Toyota says it will cut production in the U.K., partly because of a slowing European economy. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Compared with the bloodbath in the American market, British car production had been holding up. Toyota is the second biggest automaker in the UK, and it was considered a centre of stability and calm. But that tranquil image has now been dented. Toyota says it will cut the output of its British factory. Over the next 5 months, it will make 15,000 fewer cars for the European market. This is worrying, says David Bailey of the Birmingham Business School. We're not talking about gas guzzlers here.
The car being affected is the Toyota Auris, which is a small, compact-sized car, fuel-efficient, actually. So I'm surprised that they're having to cut production, but clearly, with the slowdown in the economy, things simply don't add up.
Toyota has now temporarily abandoned its boldest ambition to become the first manufacturer in the world to sell 10 million cars a year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The auto industry isn't the only sector that's been hit by high fuel costs. The global economy has struggled as well. Today, Japan unveiled an $18 billion stimulus package to help ease the effects of pricey fuel. Asian markets were liking that. Tokyo's Nikkei Index jumped 2.3%. The Shanghai Composite Index was up 2%. Europe is also looking good this Friday. London's FTSE is up 0.4%. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average ticked up 1.8%, thanks to a higher-than-expected GDP. The gross domestic product is a measure of our economic output, and it grew a lot more in the spring than we first thought. That was thanks, in part, to exports. The weak dollar has made our products very attractive overseas, and U.S. companies are increasingly relying on foreign economies for growth, as Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
It was no coincidence that U.S. CEOs like Bill Gates showed up at the Olympics in China. They didn't limit themselves to the opening ceremonies. Gates sat through a badminton match and later said he was very impressed. Of course, Gates is also impressed with the giant Chinese market. John Hancock economist Oscar Gonzalez says Asian demand for all electronics is huge.
If you think of the number of people that could acquire a cell phone, in Indonesia, China, India, relative to the United States, there's no comparison.
Gonzalez says U.S. companies have already changed their business strategies to cater to hot foreign markets. But Wachovia chief economist Mark Vittner says eventually those markets will get too hot.
Some economies are overheating. There's inflation problems in China and India and Russia, and now they're cooling off.
As a result, Vittner expects U.S. exports to taper off next year. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The U.S. was exporting a lot of little blue boxes. Sales at Tiffany's rose 10% last quarter. That was almost entirely thanks to overseas buyers. The jewelry maker saw European sales jump 35%. Sales in the U.S. actually fell. It seems these days Americans are opting for breakfast at McDonald's.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting efforts that help save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. More on SCA risks and response at suddencardiacarrest.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Labor Day weekend is upon us. That means the official end of the blockbuster summer movie season. It was a whopper. Between Caped Crusaders and Crystal Skulls, the film biz took in an estimated $4 billion this summer. Now comes the lull before Oscar season, but don't expect theaters to sit empty, as Rico Galliano explains.
It's Sunday morning at Rolling Hills Estates Mall in Southern California. Several hundred people are piling into a theater at the Regal Cinema 13. A matinee screening of Space Chimps, maybe? Not quite.
Well, welcome to the Los Angeles International Church of Christ.
This branch of the Church of Christ holds services in this movie theater every weekend. On screen, they project snapshots from youth group campouts.
Here's a couple of pictures of the bus as it's driving in. Actually, that's me right there in the corner.
And later, a band plays rock and roll spirituals.
Amen. Let's go ahead and let our worship shine here. We're going to sing Open the Eyes of My Heart.
That's guitarist/vocalist/minister Brian Craig. His congregation is one of 170 nationwide who go to church at cinemas. They rent the space through National Cinemedia. The company was founded 3 years back by the nation's top three movie chains, mainly to sell advertising time in theaters. But CEO Kurt Hall says 5% of their revenue now comes from, quote, cinema meetings, renting to everyone from churches to corporations.
There's thousands and thousands of meetings each year, and that number has been increasing over the last 2 or 3 years. Microsoft has used the network, for instance, for years.
The tech giant takes advantage of the theater's networked digital projectors to hold what are basically giant video conferences. Church of Christ minister Marco Pellizzari says for religious groups, the appeal is simpler.
What really resonated with me was how accessible this place is, the parking, and 99 out of 100 people that I tell where we meet, they know where it's at already.
There's also the fact that buying or building a church in Southern California would be ungodly expensive. Cinemedia rents theaters for $560 a weekend up. I asked ministers Marco and Brian if rent includes one all-important essential.
Do you guys get to use the popcorn machine?
No, we do not. I'm not a big fan of popcorn in the morning. So even if we did, I don't think it would be a big hit.
I love popcorn any time of day, so we should renegotiate that because that would be awesome.
In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Do you have a long drive or flight ahead of you this weekend? Take us with you. Go to marketplace.org and click on podcasts. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.